This week, NPR is looking at how the climate affects what we eat and how what we eat affects the climate. Many food businesses now say their crops come from farms practicing regenerative agriculture. So what does that mean? NPR Climate Solutions reporter Julia Simon starts us in Tennessee.
Not far from the Mississippi River is Will Tipton's farm. It's been in his family since 1836, so he had to do a little math.
I think I'm eighth generation to farm.
For most of those generations, his family planted one crop per field.
Straight soybeans, soybeans, soybeans.
But in recent years, he's tried something new.
I know this is definitely a turnip. Daikon radish out here as well, which I think will be this white flower.
And these are cover crops. Tipton now plants them instead of letting his fields lie fallow after the harvest. Tipton picks up some soil.
So when we bust this open,
there's a little guy. We just saw like a little reddish, pinkish little earthworm.
He's kind of small.
Worms can be a sign of healthy soil and carbon-rich soil. When carbon dioxide, or CO2, is in the atmosphere, it heats the planet. But plants can absorb that CO2, helping grow roots that pump carbon into the soil. Matthew Hayek at NYU says if more carbon gets stored in the soil,
that CO2 that is no longer in the atmosphere where we don't want it.
Tipton's farm is part of something bigger, a push by businesses and the U.S. government into regenerative agriculture. That's farming practices like cover crops that proponents say are good for the environment and climate. The USDA is paying farmers to adopt many of these practices, and whether it's the corn in Doritos or wheat in Pillsbury dough, food companies are encouraging their farmers to integrate these practices to grow crops.
Simply put, we can regenerate agriculture for the better.
That's an ad from food company General Mills. They have a goal to get regenerative agricultural practices on 1 million acres by 2030. PepsiCo, which makes Doritos and other foods, is shooting for 7 million acres. Margaret Henry is a PepsiCo vice president.
In our ambition to reduce at least 40% of our climate emissions, our farming is a huge part of that.
There are lots of different practices involved in regenerative agriculture, and some can be climate solutions, especially ones that cut fossil fuels, like reducing fertilizer made using fossil fuels. But a lot of corporate and government enthusiasm revolves around storing carbon in soil to slow global warming, and that makes many scientists wary.
That's when one's spidey senses ought to tingle.
Eric Slezarev's a soil scientist at Yale University. He says with some practices, like cover crops, it's unclear exactly how much extra carbon gets stored in the soil. And if carbon does get in the soil, things like drought, heat waves, or having to switch crops can cause the soil to leak carbon back into the atmosphere where it heats the planet again.
In my mind, that is the biggest uncertainty, is how long is that carbon going to stay out of the atmosphere?
PepsiCo notes they currently don't count carbon stored in soils towards their corporate climate goals. But the U.S. government, which, again, is paying farmers to adopt many regenerative practices, does count carbon that's theoretically added to soils towards the country's climate goals. The USDA writes in an email it's giving farmers the, quote, tools they need to combat the climate crisis and helping food producers to, quote, increase storage of carbon and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Hayek at NYU says given the scientific uncertainty of using soil carbon to reduce climate pollution,
we need to think pretty smartly about how we distribute literally billions in taxpayer money.
Julia Simon, NPR News.